You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Praise God. As you see that, open your Bible at Matthew chapter 6, and then you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 33. Ready? Read. So over the last number of weeks, we've been having a look at the firsts, seeking first. Now, it is a theme that we're going to track through the year because we want to make sure that our first priorities are always in the right place. First things matter. First actions matter. First words matter. It's very important to get a hold of that. Remember Jairus and his daughter that was sick? Got a hold of Jesus, said, come heal my daughter. He said, sure, I'll come with you. And then they had that encounter with the woman with the issue of blood. Eventually they came and told Jairus, your daughter is dead. Jesus turns to him immediately and says, now don't fear. Do not fear. The next words out of your mouth are important. He has to make sure that Jairus keeps his heart in the right place because he's already established his faith in calling Jesus. Jesus already gave his will in that he was moving with Jairus. So you can see he's intending for that to come to pass. And so we need to understand that what we do, our first priorities are vital. So we've been having a look over the last number of weeks at firsts. But as we go through the year, it's to make sure we keep these things in mind so that whatever we look at, we're making sure it's about God's kingdom and his first. If we want to see all these other things added, because that's very easy, as those things become idols. And that's what the world does. They're chasing after things. And Jesus says, no, you do need the things. But you get your priority right, then what other people have made idols, God says he will make sure you do get that. Now, I'm not talking about worshiping idols, worshiping foreign gods. I'm talking about the stuff and the goods that we need in life. And we want to make sure that we keep our focus on the provider, not the provision. Keep your eyes on the giver, not the gift. Amen. Serve the creator, not the creation. So always keep our minds on God and his kingdom. So if we want to see kingdom results, then we need to operate in his righteousness, his way of doing things. How does he operate? We understand his kingdom and operate according to his plan and purpose, then everything God's called us to do will manifest. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, you are the body of Christ. Just lift your hand and say, thank God. God has chosen for Christ to dwell within me. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives. Now, a while ago, we did a full study on Christ. We understand the word Christos means the anointed one. And we recognize that that is the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus Christ is Jesus that's been anointed. He's the anointed one. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So Christ now dwells within us. So we are the body, but you recognize that we are also individuals, so that we are members individually. Now, when we talk about members, it's very easy. You probably hear it every time we welcome new members into the ministry, into the church. We talk about the concept of membership. And the way the world understands membership is you go and you hunt. If you're going, let's say you want to join a golf club, you'll go maybe play on a few clubs in the area and test out the different, you know, the greens and everything, and obviously the restaurant and the change rooms. You're checking it out, and you eventually go, okay, I like this one. Then you invest in that. You pay a membership fee, you sign up, you become a member. But if they start neglecting the greens, well, then, you know, we get upset with something that happens there or whatever, and we resign and we go join another club. That's kind of the idea of membership. And that's not what he's talking about here when he says we are members of the body. And you know that your finger didn't join the club of your body. It was placed there by God. Isn't that right? If your elbow got upset with you, it doesn't resign and leave your body. Any member that wants to leave your body, it usually doesn't survive. Isn't that right? So when we say member, we're talking about the individual members. I've got to keep using the word, I suppose, but it's the elements of your physical body, members. And it goes on, yeah. It says, verse 28, God has appointed these in the church. Now, say this, I am a member of this body. God has appointed these in the church. First, everybody say first. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Well, the obvious implication in that question is no, not everybody is called to these things. Now, I don't have time to teach this morning. If you've been with us long enough, you know we've already studied it. When he says, do all speak with tongues, that does obviously the answer, yeah, for that question is no. But then what do you talk about? The prayer language. So we understand that there are different types of tongues. This is talking in terms of the prophetical tongue where you need an interpretation. So there is a place where if you speak in prophetical tongue, and that's where Paul says, if you just speak in a tongue but there's no interpretation, then don't do that because that's not going to edify anybody. No one's going to be able to say amen to that. So that's why you need an interpretation. He says, rather than you prophesy, what does he mean? Use your mother language to be able to speak that others around you can understand. But then also there's the prayer language where he says, he who speaks in tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And that's where Paul says, I wish you all prayed in tongues. So that is just a brief summary. But I did teach that in detail, and you can, of course, get those messages to make sure that it's founded in Scripture. Now, he says, yet I show you, verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And what is the excellent way? From there, he goes on to talk about how important love is. We did that a while back as well. We had a look at who love is. God is love. And he goes on to say that even though you can do great signs and wonders, speak in tongues of angels, give all your goods, he says if you don't do it from a heart of love, it's a foundation. That's the first place that we do it from. He says then we're just clanging cymbals. It's useless. What profit is it? So the foundation is love. So obviously that we got to keep in mind with everything that we study. Now, when you have a look at this, when he says first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, I don't think that this is talking about in order of rank, because you'll see that there's another place we're going to read now where it's mentioned in slightly different order. But over the 30 years, we obviously planted this church 30 years ago. This is now 2024, if someone's listening to this later. So 30 years ago, we went through a process, and I've seen it happen when other churches are planted as well. When you go into an area, when you're going in to plant a church, obviously someone has to be sent. So there's an apostolic sending in order to establish a church. Once that happens, then there's a declaration over the area. In other words, God gives a vision. When I was listening to the Lord for when we planting the church and we knew where God had called us, I wanted to make sure that I did it in integrity. Because Paul says, I don't preach where Christ has already preached. But how many know almost every town has a church, and yet God sends you to go plant a church there? So I said to God, I said, if there are, you know, I don't know how many churches were here, but I said, if there were 14 churches here, I don't just want to be church number 15. Yeah. I'm not here just to come have a platform. I'm not just doing this because I feel like I want to do something, you know. No, there must be a reason you're sending us. And that's when he gave us Ephesians chapter 4 as the vision, because it had to be founded. There must be a purpose to it. And we'll have a look at it now, but just for the sake of this testimony now. And the Ephesians 4, was, he said to me, equip my believers for the work of the ministry. And, my, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, don't all churches do that? And so we came on the obedience of what God told us to do. And I remember one day we were in a pastor's group, pastors from the different churches. We got together on a Friday to pray together. And we were in one of those meetings. And one of the pastors said to me, what are you guys doing down there at the bay? I said, what do you mean what we're doing? He says, every time I drive past there, the lights are on. There's always something happening. The car park's always full. There's always people at the building. I said, well, we're doing the work of the ministry. You know, we got Fishers of Men, we got Bible colleges, we got home cells, we got, you know, training, band practice, you know, leader meetings. Things are happening. And then I realized that not everybody was doing that. So obviously there was a necessity God wanted. So we were here with a purpose. Because it's all well and good that someone gives their life to Jesus, goes to church once a week, but how many know we're called to more than that? I said we are called to more than just attending church. God's called us to be a body, to be effective in the kingdom of God. And so that prophetical word was spoken. And then, of course, once the word is declared, now a vision has been set, now the teaching has to happen. So now you begin to equip and to train and to teach. And then the result of that is God says he follows his word with signs and wonders to confirm that word. So now you have miracles, gifts of healings. Then obviously what happens is the church begins to grow. And so the pastors are not able to just do the work on their own. The work begins to expand, needs to grow. So what do we need? Helps. So we see first apostles, then the prophet, then the teacher, then after that miracles, gifts of healings, and then what happens? Now the rest of the body comes together to do the work. So now we're into helps. And then, of course, to take care of all of that, it has to be administered. And so now you have administrations and varieties of tongues. So there's different types of tongues. Amen. Okay. So the point I want you to see is that this is God's process. This is how God works. So obviously, if you're going to go out and you're going to be establishing another church, you would need that same process again. You would need the first to be in place. Because if the first is not in place, you don't get to second or third. And this is something that I believe the body of Christ has been struggling with, but I believe the Word of God is showing us that this is exactly God's way of being established. So we go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. God himself gave. Everybody say gave. What do you give? Gifts. God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. You've heard people say, who does he think he is? Think he's God's gift to mankind? Well, this is not talking about the man. It's talking about the anointings. See, this is where people make a mistake. This is not somebody that just gets up one day, wants to feel important, and call himself an apostle. It's not a title. It's not something that, you know, now I'm like a general. You know, you don't get to appoint yourself. God gives these gifts. You don't wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'll run a church. That person's going to find out very quickly. I know it looks glamorous and it might look nice and they've got a wonderful life. Just stand up there, preach to a bunch of people and go enjoy the rest of the week and just come back next Sunday and preach again. There's a lot more to the kingdom of God. There's all, how do you know the enemy wants to shut down the work of God? And when you start speaking the word of God, Jesus said, you preach the word when you hear the word. When the word is spoken, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. How many ever noticed that happen in your life? So you're just hearing and Satan's coming to steal. What about the one speaking? You're going to shut down that voice that's talking the word of God. So I don't encourage anybody, unless you know that you know that you know that this is God's calling, this is not somewhere you want to go and venture. Because this has to be done by the grace of God. Has to be done by the grace of God. God gave. This is God's appointment. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, if you count them, there's five there. This is what we've come to call the fivefold ministry. So if you hear someone talking about the fivefold ministry, this is what it is. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So God gave apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, for what reason? It's not to be important, to carry titles. There's a purpose for these gifts. What's the purpose? Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Say this, I am in the body of Christ. So edifying means to build up, to strengthen. So how does the body of Christ grow stronger? You can have a powerful preacher, very famous, could be very charismatic, fill up a large, a huge stadium-sized building, and people come to hear the famous man. But if that's all it is, come because I want to hear the word and I'm in that church and so, you know, and then go out and just live my life like the rest of the world, then that ministry has failed. Because God didn't just call me so that I would have a platform to show off the gift. No, the purpose for this platform is very sacred. It is a holy thing. Because God considers His whole body important, and He wants His whole body, every single member in the body, to thrive. Amen. He wants us all to grow. And so for the body to grow, He gives this fivefold ministry for the equipping. Equipping means to give equipment. So what do we need? We need encouragement. We need the word. We need to know how to operate in that word. We know how to put that word into action. If something's necessary, how do I go through the process of making that happen? We need to know what our callings are, how to hear the voice of God, how to pray effectively and accurately, how to lay hands on the sick. That's for every saint to do. The work of the ministry is not just for the pastor. Every one of us are involved in the work of the ministry. So that as a believer, God has called me to the work of the ministry. So we are all called to the work of the ministry. And then He gives this fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, to equip and train us. Now notice verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Say this, the fivefold ministry has been given to grow the body of Christ until we come to the unity of faith, a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I have to ask a question. Have we achieved verse 13 yet? If you look at the body of Christ worldwide, are we all in unity? Are we operating at the measure that Jesus operated when He was in the earth? I would put it to you, we have not. Now, notice it says, until we come. Until we come. So we haven't yet come to that. So evidently, we still need verse 11 and 12. Can I get a bigger amen? Amen? Now, what is the reason for this? Now, just before we carry on, I'm going to have a look at this concept because there is a doctrine out there that the gift of the apostles and prophets has been done away with. But as I just said, it must be till we become to the unity. Now, the problem is because when we hear apostle, there's two ways of looking at it. The one is that, you know, you have the 12 apostles, and they were the only ones, and then Paul was added to that. And there's certain requirements to be considered part of those 12 apostles. And so once the word was established, we don't need apostles anymore. But we just seen here, the gift is very much given by God. And this is Paul writing that the gift is there until we come to the unity of the faith, until we established in the fullness of Christ. So the problem with it is because, again, I've said this before and I've shared this many times about different words, is that if we're going to have a conversation and we're going to talk about certain words, I have to believe that you have the same dictionary I have. If I say blue, I must assume you're going to see the same color as the background of that board up there. Isn't that right? Now, if you come from a country where that background of the board is called red, every time I say blue, you're going to see something else. Does that make sense? We have to agree what blue means. And so we've had a look at that with the word Christ. We've had a look at the word baptism, etc. And the other reason is because sometimes people will take a word and abuse it. And we've got many abusers. Got people out there who've got a church of 10, but they're an apostle. 10 people. And I don't mean to criticize anybody. It's just that the abuses doesn't mean we throw the whole gift out. How many know that there are some, when it comes to the medical field, there are some doctors that are quacks out there? Yes? How many know there are some doctors that, you know, they've even been charged and put in jail? But when you need a doctor, you don't say, well, you know, there's no more doctors because he's a quack. Isn't that right? There are people, how many know that, you know, there's always jokes about lawyers, you know? And people think that lawyers are cheats and, you know, and they never tell the whole truth and they twist truths. But how many know if you need some legal help, you're going to find a good lawyer. Isn't that right? So the same way, we're going to make sure that we don't lose sight of God's gift because of abuses or a misunderstanding of doctrine. And so just to clarify that before we carry on looking at Ephesians 4, the word apostle is the Strong's number G0652, 652. The word is apostolos. It's a Greek word. We say apostle in English, but it is a Greek word, apostolos. And apostolos in its definition is a sent one. Notice it doesn't say chief in command. It says it's a sent one. He is a delegate, a messenger. He that is sent, specially an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ. What's a commissioner? Someone that's appointed to carry out a commission. And then there's an A and B. A is specifically applied to the 12 apostles of Christ. So we know that they are the apostles that will always be recognized as the apostles. They the foundations of even heavenly Jerusalem. Their names are there and everything. We understand that. They have a very special place in church history. But then also B, in a broader sense, it's applied to other eminent Christian teachers, Barnabas, Timothy, and Silvanus. We'll have a look at some of those. Now, that word apostolos comes from the root G0649, apostello. Apostello means to set apart, to send out on a mission, to order one to go to a place appointed. You've heard me say this example before. If I send Joshua to go and fetch something at a shop for me, please go and buy something at the shop, and I send him, in the Greek, I would be apostello. I will apostello Josh. And an apostello, if someone has been apostelloed, now that's not Greek, but I'm using the word. If someone's been apostelloed, they are an apostellos. So if I was speaking Greek, will you apostello? And someone stops Joshua and says, I'm an apostellos. I can't stop to talk. I have a mission. So if we spoke in English, I'm sending. He is a sent one. But now in the language of the Bible, we've took apostellos and made it apostle. In some places, I'm going to show that to you. And yet it's the same word for other places for different things. But the point that I'm making is, there is a place where the 12 apostles are recognized. That's a very important position. We understand that. But it doesn't mean there aren't other apostelos, other sent ones. Say amen if you get it. Amen. See, Acts chapter 14, verse 14. Yeah, we see, but when the apostles, everybody say apostles, plural, Barnabas and Paul heard this. So now we see Barnabas is named here as an apostle. So it wasn't just the 12 and then Paul. There's already another one named here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. This is Paul writing, but he also says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you come down, you keep reading down to chapter 2, verse 6. Nor did we, who's he talking about? Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you as from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. So he calls, even though he says he's the least amongst all the apostles, he also calls Silvanus and Timothy an apostle as well. Why? Because they were all sent. They had a mission. Romans chapter 16, verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junia. Now, Junia is a Latin name. It's a woman. So here we see Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who were in Christ before me. Hallelujah. And why is he saying before me? Because this again, it's just the study, and this is again, somebody would have mentioned it. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's scriptural. You know, sometimes we can study things and it has no implication on your salvation. You can say, this could be. And if you're right, then you got it right. If you're wrong, we didn't lose anything. And so some theologians have studied it out and they say this Junior could be the Joanna, because Joanna is the Hebrew name, the wife of Chuza, who's mentioned in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. These were the women that traveled with Jesus and supported his ministry from their wealth. And so the Hebrew Joanna was there, and so theologians say this is probably this Junior that we're talking about here. So there we see a woman who's named as an apostle. Now, remember again, apostolos, sent one. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Now, he's talking about Apollos. Come down to verse 9. I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Now, listen to this. But your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. He's sending Epaphroditus, your messenger. Everybody say messenger. Now you go look that up in the Greek, in other words, use the Greek concordance and look up that word messenger in that verse. That is also the word apostolos. So here it's translated messenger. Other places, apostolos is translated apostle. So which one? See, again, we have to say apostle doesn't necessarily mean the 12 apostles. But someone who is sent is considered an apostolos, which we in biblical terms would say apostle. You see the same thing again in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are apostolos of the churches to the glory of Christ. Hallelujah. So the word sent, apostolo, that's sent, you'll see in mentioned Tychicus in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Judas in Acts chapter 15, verse 27, and Erastus in Acts chapter 19, verse 22. The point I'm making is, it was the 12 apostles were the apostles, and Paul was considered an apostle for the establishing of doctrine. But the point I'm making is, he kept naming others that were all considered apostolic. Are you with me? So God gives the sent one. So this is why I'm saying, it is not a title to make someone feel important. It is simply a gift, an anointing. So the fact that you are sent into a region, if someone is carrying an apostolic anointing, not only will they be sent, but they will also touch all the other gifts. There will be evangelist, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the raising up that they can in turn send others. So you will see one of the manifestations, if someone is called as an apostle, is that churches will be planted. You see campuses planted, churches planted, Bible colleges planted. There's a gifting to establish the ongoing work of God, that sending process. So if you're sending, you're apostoloing. It's the sending out. That's an apostolic work. And so it's not something that you try and achieve. It's not an achievement in life. Usually it's somebody who's been in the ministry for a considerable amount of time, and then you've seen the gifts manifesting, and then it's recognized. Now, the point I'm making behind all of this is because I'll show you now, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, God says he gave all five of them for the equipping of the saints. Now, how many of you know if you don't have all five in operation, you're going to have a fraction of where we're supposed to be getting to? Now, many, many people have operated. You don't even have to carry the title to operate in it. Every single missionary that's ever gone into a foreign field to go and preach the gospel, we call them missionaries, and they go out there and they preach the gospel, get whole villages saved, and then plant a church there. That is a work of the apostle. You're getting this? So don't be nervous of the title. And also, that's why I don't have any people say, who's he, who made him an apostle? I didn't. I didn't choose this. It's just simply a gift that has manifested. It's not like, who made him a pastor? We never say that, you know, or a teacher. No, it's all part of the gifts. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that, because if we don't understand the gifts, then we won't be able to accept them. And if we don't accept them, then we won't receive from that gift what God intends for us to receive from it. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. So yeah, we have the fivefold ministry for the equipping until we all, verse 13, come to the unity of the faith. So that still has to happen. We're going to continue growing. We have to continue to receive from the gifts. Why? Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Family of God, this was written almost 2,000 years ago and they didn't even have social media. That's why Paul, if you go read the letters of the Corinthians, that was, he says, you know, these Corinthians were so excited about the gospel and the gifts and everything. If something was taught, they'd do it. If something else was taught, they'd do it. Whatever they want to do, they'd do it and do it and do it. And that was just going crazy eventually. And Paul had to step in and say, hang on, who are you listening to? You've got all these teachers pouring through here, but you've got few fathers. Remember what I've taught you. Remember, yes, those things are important, but let's get them in order. Let's make sure we don't go off tracks here. So you notice the fivefold, him as an apostle, comes in to establish some order there, to make sure we don't lose sight of doctrine. Now, have you noticed on social media today, you can have every, if you want to believe something, you'll find someone that says it. Whatever you decide you want to believe, you can find. And if you notice, there's a thing called confirmation bias. When you've decided what you believe, I can watch somebody watch, two different people watch the same video, and then one will say, you see? And the one says, no, I don't, no, no. Because it contradicts or agrees. And we tend to filter. And these social media things are very, very clever. They're designed to pick up on what you're looking at. And then notice those things suddenly start popping up. And I notice sometimes I'd say, well, you know, you just for balance, I've got to see what the other side thinks. And then you go and watch two or three of those videos next moment, that's all you're getting. And the enemy is very sly with that. Because when he knows what the truth is, and he knows what's going to set you free, he knows where you're going to live in the power of God, he knows what God's given you, he will do something to try and discredit that word. He comes immediately to steal that word. And then all of a sudden, we're watching all this other stuff, all these other little doctrines start slipping in. But I've been in this ministry long enough. 30 years, you learn some things. And then you have these ministries, they're called discernment ministries. They want to suddenly pick on everything. You just make one statement. It can be a one-liner tweet. And they want to rip your whole doctrine apart. But you didn't listen to the whole message. You don't know where the foundation of that is. But they constantly want it correct, correct, correct. Now, sound doctrine is important. You understand that. But if your ministry is only ever picking out all the errors, this is wrong, that one, this ministry, that's the teaching's wrong, that thing's wrong, this thing's wrong. I have to ask, what do you teach? What is it that you're standing for? Why are you dividing the body of Christ? Because some things are important. The deity of Christ, always. That can never be denied. Because the Bible even says that if you deny the Christ, that's heresy. Are you with me? But if you believe, you know, even you look at the tribulation, there's the pre-tribulation, there's the mid-tribulation, and then there's the post-tribulation, talking about the rapture. So which one's right? Now, I know you have an opinion, but all three have scriptures backing them. So if Jesus comes before the tribulation, if he comes in between the tribulation, he comes after the tribulation. The point is he's coming. So if I stand for pre-tribulation, and then I'm going through tribulation. Jesus, what's happening? You said you come before the tribulation. Now, and then he comes. Well, praise God, at least he came. Isn't that right? But I didn't lose my salvation. It's not heresy to say he's post or pre or mid. Are you with me? Does God still heal today? Yes, I believe that. There are others that say, yes, he heals, but it's according to his will. You can't call on it. Yet I've called on it many times and seen it. I'm talking just now about coincidences. I thank God for godly coincidences. Amen. Because every time I've called, he's answered. But there are those that will say that that's heresy. And I go, but hang on, what are you doing? You're dividing. And you're going to be very careful with that, family. Because what I have seen is when people get focused on these things and you listen to too much of it, you get the flip side to where you were set free, you're walking the glory and the grace of God, and all of a sudden it starts becoming about the letter of the law, and without realizing it, drop back into what the Pharisees were doing. The Pharisees were very educated. People sometimes write off the Pharisees. They were very educated. They knew the scriptures. That's why they kept challenging Jesus on the truth of the scripture. But they lost the power of that word. That's why constantly challenging, this daughter should have already been healed. Are you with me? Is she not a daughter of Abraham? And you calling me because I heal on a Sabbath? She should have been healed long ago. Why didn't you do your job? See, when he met that woman at the well, she got into doctrinal discussion, theological discussion. Do we worship Yah or we worship there? Jesus says, hang on now, let's get personal here. And he identifies, you've been married so many times and now the one you were living with is not your husband. Was he condemning her? No. What did he do? He goes to, you need living water. That's standing right here. That water, you'll thirst again, but what you need is the life. Are you with me? And so these doctrines can throw us around and we can lose sight of these things. And family of God, we've got to make sure. That's why God gives us the fivefold ministry. It's good to study. It's good to read. It's good to look at other things. That's fine as long as you remember the Word. That's what God gives you, someone in your life to keep you coming back. So keep your eyes on the target. Keep your eyes on the calling. What is God's call? This is the anointing. This is His gift. This is what He's saying. And if you're listening to that, then you won't be tossed to and fro. Amen. And then He says, verse 15, speak the truth in love. We'll grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Say this, God wants His body to grow. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. The righteousness of faith speaks. Say this, faith speaks. In this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Sometimes people say, God knows what's in my heart. Yeah, you also need to speak it. Words in my mouth and in my heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Everybody say, word of faith. Now, the word of faith is not a denomination. It's not a movement. I know some people have labeled some people as a movement. They say, oh, that's the word of faith, like it's a bad thing. But yeah, Paul says he preaches the word of faith. What is the word of faith? Well, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You can see that in verse 17. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by the word. That's the word of faith. And that word of faith, when you've heard it, you will in turn speak it. That's what he's saying. Spirit of faith is having believed, I speak. And then he says in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen to verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How will they believe on Him whom they've not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are apostello? There has to be a sending. So God sent me into your life. You thought you came to church. No, God sent me, and Janine is my wife, to come and plant this church, to send me into your life. He knew where you live, and He sent us here. Why? Because listen to what He says. From that moment, He says, how will they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How many of you know if you read the scriptures, you will get faith. You will get understanding. God will speak to you in revelation. But there are some things that even though you know it, it has to be spoken by the anointed fivefold. How will they hear without a preacher? There are some things that when the man of God speaks it, it ignites something in your heart. See, most of the time, people know they should give their life to Jesus, even if they don't believe there's a God. If there was a God, then I should be serving Him. Isn't that right? So what ignites that is when someone speaks to them. And when that sent one speaks into their lives, it ignites that message and they give their lives to Jesus. Now, that's the truth, your salvation, but it's also true for every other aspect of your life. So what happens is we grow in wisdom, we grow in revelation, and we begin to do studies, and we do more and more studies. The enemy picks up on that. He'll try to sway us and get us off track, but we need to, even me today, as 30 years in the ministry, still keep my apostle, Pastor Theo, in my life, and I keep myself focused, and I keep listening to his messages, because I want to make sure everything I teach, would I be able to teach this with him sitting there? If he's sitting here, I'm not going to go off and do something weird and stupid. Now, I'm doing it because I'm before God. He is the first one. But you know there's a lot of bad doctrine out there. Really bad stuff. But usually you'll find that person doesn't have a guiding light in their lives. And that's the fivefold that God sends to make sure, yes, I'm learning things, but let me make sure it stays within the context of what our calling is. Amen. Amen. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, if the foot shall say, I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear says, I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Notice, these are members. These are the members of the body. If the whole body was an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? So we all have different parts to play. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. He pleased. So God has set you in the body where He wants you to be. So I don't get to choose. I thought I made a choice, but He was actually guiding that. And once He set me, we're not going anywhere, because we know He put us there for a purpose and a plan. And by doing that, we've seen great things happen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. One last scripture, and then we'll close. Matthew 10, verse 40. He who receives you, this is Jesus speaking. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me, apostello. So even Jesus is the great apostle. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. Hallelujah. What's he saying? God gives you gifts, but you can only receive from that gift to the measure with which you recognize it. The moment other voices start drowning out the voice of that fivefold ministry that God's put into your life, if other voices start speaking louder than your pastor, then what will happen is that person will start to reject the pastor. And by rejecting that gift, Jesus says, then you'll be rejecting me. Are you with me? That's why it's important to know. I'm called. I'm in the right place. God put me here. But this is God's gift to make sure that I follow Him. And Jesus said, when they accept that gift, when you accept the gift that God sent into your life, then what happens is that gift that's been accepted then manifests in receiving everything Jesus has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that good news? Yes. Come on, let's give Jesus praise for His word. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Raise your hand to the Lord and say, thank God for His word. I am a hearer and a believer, not a doubter. As a hearer, I'm also a doer. I thank God for His gifts that He sent into my life. I receive them that I may follow after sound doctrine, follow His will, His purpose, His way of doing things. And I know as I receive the place, the body, the part of the body God has set me in, I receive everything that I need from God to be able to achieve all that He's called me to do. In Jesus' name, amen.